Hey, everybody. Always pride and always joy. I'm Alfre Woodard. I am reading for This Way Out's Global Queer Read-In. I'm reading James Baldwin, The Fire Next Time.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lisha Chappelle. Baja California misses marriage equality twice, the Caymans tossed queer couple recognition ball to UK court, and Alfre Woodard is on fire for James Baldwin's birthday. All that and more this week because you've tuned in to This Way Out.
I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Michael Taylor Gray.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 1st, 2020. Marriage equality was rejected in the Mexican state of Baja California for the second time in 2 weeks. 17 lawmakers need to vote yes to overturn the state constitution's heterosexual-only civil marriage provision. The first attempt in mid-July failed by just 2 votes. The second try on July 30th came 1 vote closer, 16 in favor, 6 opposed, and 3 abstentions. Mexico's Supreme Court ruled in 2015 that same-gender couples should be allowed to marry, but left each state to accomplish that on its own, which has been complicated. Marriage equality has passed in 10 of the 31 states and the Federal Capital District of Mexico City. In 5 states, the Supreme Court has overturned equality bans through complex actions of unconstitutionality. 3 states gave up enforcing their bans administratively. Queer couples can still marry in the remaining 13 states, including Baja California. They just need a personalized injunction from a judge. This judge is required to grant it because of the 2015 Supreme Court ruling, but the process is cumbersome and expensive. Baja California's major cities include Tijuana, Mexicali, and Ensenada.
The Cayman Islands Legislative Assembly rejected a same-gender domestic partnership bill by another narrow margin. Their July 29th action violates a Cayman's appeals court order for lawmakers to provide same-gender couples with a legal status equivalent to marriage, but not necessarily marriage equality. The Caymans are a British overseas territory in the Caribbean. The Legislative Assembly's vote violates the European Convention on Human Rights, so it's likely that the UK will step in to force full marriage equality. The Caymans appeals court order ruling that stopped short of marriage equality is headed to the Court of Final Appeal, the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council, in London. A marriage equality case from the British Overseas Territory of Bermuda will be heard there in December, and the two cases could be combined. Marriage equality remains enforced in Bermuda during its Privy Council appeal. Of the 25 British jurisdictions around the world, marriage equality remains elusive in 5. Anguilla, the British Virgin Islands, the Cayman Islands, Montserrat, and the Turks and Caicos Islands.
The Ketchikan, Alaska City Council has resolved the matter of a homophobic florist by unanimously enacting a wide-ranging anti-discrimination ordinance protecting LGBTQ people. It includes bans on bias in housing and in businesses open to the public. It all started when Heavenly Creations owner Heather Dahlin refused to fill an order for Tommy Varela and Stephen Kosek's wedding flowers. Dahlin cited her religious beliefs. Varela's mother was the one who tried to order the flowers, and she exposed the discrimination on social media. More than 100 of the southeast Alaskan town's 9,000 residents protested outside the flower shop in mid-June. Tommy Varela told local media, "I've seen Ketchikan come together as a community like that for other people, but to see that happen for your family is just like, there aren't really words to describe how amazing it feels." According to Dahlin, she's made and delivered bouquets to members of the LGBTQ community on numerous occasions. But she said, when it comes to the holy sacrament of marriage, God's word is clear. Ketchikan's anti-bias ordinance takes effect in mid-August. It will join the Alaskan cities of Sitka, Juneau, and Anchorage in protecting LGBTQ residents from discrimination.
It took a little morality and a lot of money to motivate a change of heart in Maricopa County, Arizona. Free legal services will once again be provided to all parents seeking uncontested adoptions. After the U.S. Supreme Court's marriage equality ruling in 2015, a policy was pointedly put into place to limit those free services to heterosexual parents. The ACLU threatened to sue, so then County Attorney Bill Montgomery decided to stop his staff from doing any adoptions work. It was all farmed out to local law firms. The price tag on that outsourcing turned out to be a whopping $750,000 a year. County Attorney Montgomery's successor, Alistair Adele, told the Arizona Republic this week, "Once we realized how much money we were saving not only for taxpayers, but getting children out of the system and into loving homes, this was something we absolutely had to do. If a gay couple wants to adopt, they can." And where is former Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery now? The state's conservative Republican Governor Doug Ducey appointed him to the Arizona Supreme Court.
Michigan's new Teacher of the Year is queer and transgender-identified Owen Bondono. Bondono is a ninth-grade language arts instructor at Oak Park High School in Detroit. He also serves as faculty advisor for the school's Queer Straight Alliance. Bondono told local TV station WJBK, "I knew from a personal standpoint how vulnerable you feel when you're not safe in school. Everything else takes a back seat. I want students to see that they are supported and loved and that their future is possible." Bondono is now a candidate for National Teacher of the Year.
Finally, U.S. civil rights icon John Lewis crossed one last bridge on July 17th, and his funeral was held this week. He was 80 years old. Lewis's storied activism includes being viciously beaten at a peaceful voting rights demonstration on a Selma, Alabama bridge that may soon bear his name. At the age of 23, he stood beside Martin Luther King and was the youngest speaker at the 1963 March on Washington. The long-serving Black Democratic congressman from the Atlanta, Georgia area was a tireless champion of human rights, and that included LGBTQ rights, a principle confirmed on the way to his final resting place. The hearse carrying Lewis's body took a purposeful pause at the rainbow-painted crosswalks at 10th Street and Piedmont Avenue, the heart of Atlanta's gayborhood. Mourners thronged the area to honor Lewis. Many wore rainbow-colored clothing and face masks. One memory of Lewis they might have shared was his speech during the congressional debate on DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. Congress ended up passing DOMA's ban on federal recognition of same-gender couples, and President Bill Clinton signed it into law in the dead of night in 1996. In 2013, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned it on its way to enshrining full marriage equality 2 years later. Ahead of his time, John Lewis had this to say about DOMA in 1996.
"You cannot tell people they cannot fall in love. Why don't you want your fellow men and women, your fellow Americans, to be happy? Why do you attack them? Why do you want to destroy the love they hold in their hearts? Why do you want to crush their hopes, their dreams, their longings, their aspiration? We are talking about human beings, people like you, people who want to get married, buy a house, and spend their lives with the one they love. They have done no wrong."
U.S. Representative John Robert Lewis, rest in power.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending August 1st, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency, but is still being written by Gray Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Michael Taylor Gray. Stay healthy.
And I'm John Dyer V. Stay safe.
Black gay author and activist James Baldwin would have turned 96 this week, and we're celebrating with a selection from our virtual Global Queer Read-In. Actor, producer, political activist, and straight ally Alfred Woodard reads from the 1963 classic, The Fire Next Time.
Hey, everybody. Always pride and always joy. I'm Alfre Woodard. I'm reading for This Way Out's Global Queer Read-In. I'm reading James Baldwin, The Fire Next Time, published in 1963. The dungeon shook. A letter to my nephew. December 1st, 1962. Dear James, I have begun this letter 5 times and torn it up 5 times. I keep seeing your face, which is also the face of your father and my brother. I've known both of you all your lives and have carried your daddy in my arms and on my shoulders, kissed him and spanked him and watched him learn to walk. I don't know if you've known anybody from that far back, if you've loved anybody that long, first as an infant, then as a child, then as a man. You gain a strange perspective on time and human pain and effort. Other people cannot see what I see whenever I look into your father's face. For behind your father's face, as it is today, are all those other faces which were his. Let him laugh, and I see a cellar your father does not remember, and a house he does not remember. And I hear in his present laughter, his laughter as a child. Let him curse, and I remember his falling down the cellar steps and howling. And I remember with pain his tears, which my hand or your grandmother's hand so easily wiped away. But no one's hand can wipe away those tears he sheds invisibly today, which one hears in his laughter and in his speech and in his songs. I know what the world has done to my brother and how narrowly he has survived it. And I know, which is much worse, and this is the crime of which I accuse my country and my countrymen, for which neither I nor time nor history will ever forgive them, that they have destroyed and are destroying hundreds of thousands of lives and do not know it and do not want to know it. One can be, indeed, one must strive to become tough and philosophical concerning destruction and death, for this is what most of mankind has been best at since we have heard of war. Remember, I said most of mankind, but it is not permissible that the authors of devastation should also be innocent. It is the innocence which constitutes the crime. Now, my dear namesake, these innocent and well-meaning people, your countrymen, have caused you to be born under conditions not far removed from those described for us by Charles Dickens in the London of more than 100 years ago. I hear the chorus of the innocents screaming, "No, this is not true. How bitter you are." But I am writing this letter to you to try to tell you something about how to handle them. For most of them do not yet really know that you exist. I know the conditions under which you were born, for I was there. Your countrymen were not there and haven't made it yet. Your grandmother was also there, and no one has ever accused her of being bitter. I suggest that the innocent check with her. She isn't hard to find. Your countrymen don't know that she exists either, though she has been working for them all their lives. Well, you were born. Here you came, something like 15 years ago. And though your father and mother and grandmother, looking about the streets through which they were carrying you, staring at the walls into which they brought you, had every reason to be heavy-hearted, yet they were not. For here you were, Big James, named for me. You were a big baby. I was not. Here you were to be loved. To be loved, baby. Hard at once and forever to strengthen you against the loveless world. Remember that. I know how black it looks today for you. It looked black that day too. Yes, we were trembling. We have not stopped trembling yet. But if we had not loved each other, none of us would have survived. And now you must survive because we love you and for the sake of your children and your children's children. This innocent country set you down in a ghetto in which, in fact, it intended that you should perish. Let me spell out precisely what I mean by that, for the heart of the matter is here and the crux of my dispute with my country. You were born where you were born and faced the future that you faced because you were black and for no other reason. The limits to your ambition thus expected to be settled. You were born into a society which spelled out with brutal clarity and in as many ways as possible that you were a worthless human being. You were not expected to aspire to excellence. You were expected to make peace with mediocrity. Wherever you have turned, James, in your short time on this earth, you have been told where you could go and what you could do and how you could do it and where you could live and whom you could marry. I know your countrymen do not agree with me here, and I hear them saying, "You exaggerate." They do not know Harlem, and I do. So do you. Take no one's word for anything, including mine, but trust your experience. Know whence you came. If you know whence you came, there is really no limit to where you can go. The details and symbols of your life have been deliberately constructed to make you believe what white people say about you. Please try to remember that what they believe, as well as what they do and cause you to endure, does not testify to your inferiority, but to their inhumanity and fear. Please try to be clear, dear James, through the storm which rages about your youthful head today, about the reality which lies behind the words acceptance and integration. There is no reason for you to try to become like white men, and there is no basis whatever for their impertinent assumption that they must accept you. The really terrible thing, old buddy, is that you must accept them. And I mean that very seriously. You must accept them and accept them with love, for these innocent people have no other hope. They are, in effect, still trapped in a history which they do not understand. And until they understand it, they cannot be released from it. They have had to believe for many years and for innumerable reasons that black men are inferior to white men. Many of them indeed know better, but as you will discover, people find it very difficult to act on what they know. To act is to be committed, and to be committed is to be in danger. In this case, the danger in the minds and hearts of most white Americans is the loss of their identity. Try to imagine how you would feel if you woke up one morning to find the sun shivering and all the stars aflame. You would be frightened because it is out of the order of nature. Any upheaval in the universe is terrifying because it so profoundly attacks one's sense of one's own reality. Well, The black man has functioned in the white man's world as a fixed star, as an immovable pillar. And as he moves out of his place, heaven and earth are shaken to their foundations. You don't be afraid. I said it was intended that you should perish in the ghetto, perish by never being allowed to go beyond and behind the white man's definition, by never being allowed to spell your proper name. You have, and many of us have defeated this intention. And by a terrible law, a terrible paradox, those innocents who believed that your imprisonment made them safe are losing their grasp of reality. But these men are your brothers, your lost younger brothers. And if the word integration means anything, this is what it means, that we with love shall force our brothers to see themselves as they are, to cease fleeing from reality, and begin to change it. For this is your home, my friend. Do not be driven from it. Great men have done great things here and will again. And we can make America what America must be. It will be hard, James, but you come from sturdy peasant stock, men who picked cotton, dammed rivers, built railroads, and in the teeth of the most terrifying odds, achieved an unassailable and monumental dignity. You come from a long line of great poets, some of the greatest poets since Homer. One of them said, "The very time I thought I was lost, my dungeon shook and my chains fell off." You know, and I know, that the country is celebrating 100 years of freedom, 100 years too early. We cannot be free until they are free. God bless you, James, and Godspeed. Your uncle, James.
You're listening to Alfre Woodard reading from James Baldwin's The Fire Next Time, excerpts selected and compiled by Brown University Associate Professor of Political Science, Melvin Lee Rogers. Video of this presentation from our June 25th Global Queer Read-In is available on our This Way Out Radio YouTube channel, along with more Baldwin by performance artist Paul Outlaw. And now Alfre Woodard reads an excerpt from Baldwin's Down at the Cross, Letter from a Region in My Mind.
We are capable of bearing a great burden once we discover that the burden is reality and arrive where reality is. Anyway, the point here is that we are living in an age of revolution, whether we will or no, and that America is the only Western nation with both the power and, as I hope to suggest, the experience that may help to make these revolutions real and minimize the human damage. Any attempt we make to oppose these outbursts of energy is tantamount to signing our death warrant. Behind what we think of as the Russian menace lies what we do not wish to face, and what white Americans do not face when they regard a Negro: reality, the fact that life is tragic. Life is tragic simply because the earth turns and the sun inexorably rises and sets. And one day, for each of us, the sun will go down for the last time. Perhaps the whole root of our trouble The human trouble is that we will sacrifice all the beauty of our lives. We'll imprison ourselves in totems, taboos, crosses, blood sacrifices, steeples, mosques, races, armies, flags, nations, in order to deny the fact of death, which is the only fact we have. It seems to me that one ought to rejoice in the fact of death, ought to decide indeed to earn one's death, by confronting with passion the conundrum of life. One is responsible to life. It is the small beacon in that terrifying darkness from which we come and to which we shall return. One must negotiate this passage as nobly as possible for the sake of those who are coming after us. Everything now, we must assume, is in our hands. We have no right to assume otherwise. If we, now I mean the relatively conscious whites and the relatively conscious blacks, who must, like lovers, insist on or create the consciousness of the others, do not falter in our duty now, we may be able, handful that we are, to end the racial nightmare and achieve our country, and change the history of the world. If we do not now dare everything, the fulfillment of that prophecy recreated from the Bible in a song by a slave is upon us. God gave Noah the rainbow sign, no more water, the fire, next time.
That was actor, producer, political activist, and straight ally Alfre Woodard reading from James Baldwin's Down at the Cross. For more about our global queer read-in, visit thiswayout.org.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from John Dyer V and Michael Taylor Gray, produced by Brian DeShazer, and even more from Brian DeShazer. Sam Cook performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and donors Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email to wroradio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WCRW Columbus, Ohio, KBOO Corvallis, Albany, Hood River, Oregon, KSA Radio, Pretoria, South Africa, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay safe, y'all, and stay tuned.